This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We are just a mere 3.5 hours away before game 6 of the first round series between the New York Knicks and the Detroit Pistons. And right now, I decided, you know, just for fun, to go on Ticketmaster, just to see. Okay. Just to see. Because we were supposed to go to Detroit. It was all planned, and then my wife put the kibosh on it. I love her, but, you know, she put the kibosh on it. Right now, you can get in there for $150. It's not that bad. Now, they did sell out, so all the tickets are gone. But luckily, if you were buying it through the Detroit Pistons, they were going to block you because they don't let people outside of that local area buy tickets. They're trying to keep Knicks fans out. They're all gone, but if you buy on the secondary market, you can sit in pretty good seats for far less than what it would cost you to go to Madison Square Garden. So it may be too late to jump on a plane, but if you are in the Detroit, Michigan area, you got a chance to watch a game 6 and a chance to see the New York Knicks for the second straight year, not blow a 3-1 lead, but lose game 5 at home, and then win a game 6 on the road. Because 1 year ago, and it's almost to this exact date, the Knicks lost a game 5 at home, and it was a disastrous loss, as we all remember, the Tyrese Maxey game. And then they responded in Philadelphia by winning what was, remember, they got off to a great start.
Right.
They were blowing the Sixers out. I was joking with Loogie, we can leave. I mean, Knicks, this game's over. We got nothing to worry about. Then the Sixers came back, and of course, it turned into a great close game. Josh Hart made the big three. Jalen Brunson was ridiculous, 41 points, and the New York Knicks advanced to the second round of the postseason. I see that scenario kind of happen again. The only difference is my wife said no, and we're not in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, I apologize, but I think you guys are going to get this.
Blame Mrs. Roberts.
Blame me for going to too many Tuesday night Met games.
That's true.
That's probably the issue.
Forget the Tuesday night Met games, Sunshine. How about the Wednesday night Nets games?
Yeah.
You should have gone to a single game all year, and you should have banked it for Knicks playoff road trips or Met playoff road trips.
Nah,
those Net games on a Thursday night against the Pelicans, who cares? You're rooting for them to lose anyway.
No, you're right. I should have taken all 9 games I went to, bottled it, and said, can I save that for something better? Let's get to your telephone calls, 888-808-1019. Joe is in Queens. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
All right, so I think the Knicks are in a lot of trouble right now. They can't really, you know, beat the Pistons. I think they're actually going to choke this series. So I think they have to pivot, get rid of Thibodeau, and I think they got to bring back Bill Walker.
If they lose this series after owning a 3-1 series lead against the Detroit Pistons, then you will get what you want and Tom Thibodeau will be gone.
Yeah.
And I don't know what other changes you're going to make, because I don't think there are a lot of things you really can do, as much as you're going to hear rumors about Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo. But blowing a 3-1 series lead would be an out-and-out disaster.
What would be the roster changes that you need? Or would there not need to just better coaching of a very good roster?
I mean, there's not really much it could do. Like, if Durant's available, the only, and he will be available, so that's why I use him. Like
Giannis is definitely available. That's coming.
Probably, but first of all, you don't have any draft picks to trade. So you're talking about more moving OG Anunoby and Karl Anthony Towns and contracts that add up. You're playing fantasy basketball. And I don't think that's the best way to build a team, especially when you've said it all year, Tommy. You started saying it all year. You weren't saying it all year. Eventually, you said this team has chemistry issues. Okay, so let's just rejig everything. Let's just play fantasy basketball.
He originally said they have great chemistry.
He said they have the greatest chemistry in the history of sports.
I said they potentially could have the greatest chemistry in the history of sports.
I'll read your tweet again. You did not say potentially. You said they will have the greatest chemistry.
I know what I said. I don't have to have it read back to me.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Because it's convenient.
Right. Well, don't scream at me that you know what you said when you didn't say what you said.
Chance for me to do a line from A Few Good Men.
You know the irony here is?
What's up?
There was a point in time on the show where Evan offered to pay for Tommy to be a verified. Remember when you were hot on that on Twitter? Had you done that, Tommy could have actually edited said tweet to put that in there. And
burned.
That's crazy.
Oh, you can edit with the blue check mark?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Well, that's scary. Then Posted and Toasted will be gone.
Here's what Tommy said on July 15th, 2024. Okay. The Knicks are going to have the best chemistry in the history of sports. That's word for word.
Yeah, he didn't say they have.
The Knicks
are going.
Going to. You're right. It was a projection.
What was the date?
July 15th, 2024. It's before the season.
Yeah.
The Knicks are going to have the best chemistry in the history of sports. Now, you have, rightfully so, concerns about the chemistry. I don't know if the answer is let's play fantasy basketball during the offseason and move these pieces for that superstar.
But I don't think the chemistry is them liking one another. I think it's them playing together with one another. That's the difference.
Right.
What do you mean?
Meaning, like, complimenting each other very well. I think they all like each other. I think they get along, the Brunson duo now, but you know what I mean. And then and Kat, they're cool with one another. It's not like they hate each other.
Yeah,
they're just not complimentary all the time on the court.
Let's go to Paul in Queens. How are you, Paul?
What's going on, guys? You hear me good?
What's up? Yep,
not bad.
How you guys doing, brothers? Good. Listen, real quick, just so I could like segue into my Giants point. If you can get Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'm not even a Knicks fan. If you get Giannis Antetokounmpo, you move all those guys. I don't care what you got to do. If it's got fantasy basketball, anything, you put Jalen and Kat with Giannis, you're winning the chip. But let me get to my Giants point. So we all know the Giants like are going to improve a lot drastically, right? But I think it's even being underrated. Like, you know, I've been here in top 10. I think this – I looked at the whole depth chart. I think this team could be at top five defense with health, obviously. Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau. We know the front, obviously, the rookie Abdul Carter. The secondary is stacked, and I haven't been able to say that in a long time. Paulson Adebo.
Mm-hmm. You just got to be it's his health. Your biggest question is health, dude.
The new corner. What's his name? Deontay Banks had a good rookie year. He's not a wild cornerback. One, he's a cornerback. Two or three. You got him, you put him against lesser guys, he's going to do much better. Andrew Phillips was a monster last year. I mean, I feel like this defense, even though everybody is respecting how much better they've gotten, they're still not giving them the respect they deserve. Obviously, they have to put it on the field, but I think this defense could be way better. I'm talking top five defense.
They definitely got better on paper. Can they be a top five defense?
Yeah,
that's a big jump.
It is a big jump, but really, when you think about top five defense, it's those teams that turn the ball over, and I think with their improved secondary, don't forget that Trey Hawkins actually played well in he only played in two games or one? He only played in a couple games, and then he got hurt, but he played well after being basically persona non grata for half the season. So there's depth and competition.
Him and Flott now.
And Flott, exactly. So there's depth and competition in almost all of their positions. Obviously, getting Scataboo does it on offense, and maybe the wide receiver room still is a little, you know, shallow, but they have a superstar in there, so it kind of negates all of that. I think their defense has a chance to be a top five defense, but they got to figure out how to work together.
That's a big jump.
But it's 21st. It's easy to do it if you turn the ball over.
Well, yeah, look, but sure. I guess in theory it's easy.
It's a
massive jump. They got to stop the run a lot better than they did last year.
But they will. I mean, especially if they're healthy.
They were like 27th in the league last year.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
No, but they got Dex is back. They drafted a D tackle who's one of the best D tackles in the game, or in the, coming out of college, coming into the game. You have a secondary that is competitive now. I mean, there were years where the Giants were just putting guys out on the field, just like, who is that guy? Do I know this guy? Can he play? I don't. You didn't know.
Can I throw another question at you? I feel like such a hater. I'm not being a hater. I'm just being skeptical. My healthy skepticism. Do we believe in Shane Bowen? Like, do we love this guy as DC? We convinced he can be the coordinator of a top five defense?
To be determined.
See, I got you there because you said to be determined.
To be determined.
Which means that's a fair question.
He was very good in Tennessee for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of fell apart.
Yeah. And last year wasn't great here.
I just don't also sleep on Chauncey Golston was a huge signing with Dallas. He's going to help with the run and the pass and all that. But
there's depth and competition all across the defense.
Can I give one minor smidge of a negative if people are looking to make the jump to top five defense?
No, you're going to make a negative about the Giants? Stop the presses.
Again, I'm not telling you this is a playoff team this year.
You don't love the linebacking core.
No, I actually do. I think that Abdul Carter is going to be insanely awesome. Let's calm down. Myles Garrett is, among others, these monstrous top pass rushers. They rarely ever, including Myles Garrett, get double-digit sacks in their first year. So just everybody looking to make that big leap. It might be year two where you're like, oh, my God, he'll make plays and game-changing plays, but I don't think you're getting some kind of 15-sack year out of Abdul Carter.
I don't know if he's going to be on the field enough to get double-digit sacks.
With the rotation with everybody?
Yeah.
Well, another guy's got to eat, too, and if he gets double, that means Burns could have 15 sacks. And that, to me, is an assist from Carter, basically.
Right, but has he ever had? Has Brian Burns ever had 15 sacks?
No.
No, I just went.
This is, I'm going to try to clean this up for the audience. What you are witnessing is a New York Giants circle bleep.
Well, because you know
not going to use the other term because that's very offensive. Let's just say it rhymes with twerk.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You want to go there, and we're going to have a whole summer to debate this. The conversation we're having over all those Giants fans.
This is an on-paper conversation.
It's an on-paper conversation, and guess what? On-paper conversations are good because all we've had to hear in this town is how talented, while they've underperformed, the Jets are. For once, the Giants have entered the conversation.
We are not a part of this conversation. I'm commenting on the menage a giant that's going on right now.
He's very aware of this because they've done it to themselves for the last half a decade.
Exactly. We are sounding like Jet fans. Sean, we have all the talent in the world.
Fellas, I haven't brought up the Jets. I was just having fun with the menage a giant that's going on. Or the Giants twerk that we're witnessing.
They have the potential to be a top five defense.
I know.
And that potential is an ugly word sometimes.
You're right. They have a lot of potential. I don't mean that they don't. I'm laughing at the three of you.
They've also put all their resources into this defense. There's no excuse
not to
be a top
five. What else can you talk about right now? I have no idea what they're going to look like because they haven't even put their jock straps on.
No, you're right.
I have no idea what they're going to look like. But I know the talent that they have on that roster.
They have. Here's what I'll give you. I'm going to join the Giants circle twerk. I am. The Giants have more talent on their roster than they did last year, and they better win more games because they're a better team.
Especially defensively.
Absolutely. That I'll totally agree with. I guess there's the jump from they're better, which they clearly are, to top five. If you have a top five defense, they're going to the playoffs. Like, if they have a top five defense, it's a playoff team. I don't know if I can go that far. In fact, I know I can't, but I hope I'm wrong because I'm not a Giant hater. In fact, you need me to be positive, Evie, for the Giants,
no,
too?
No, no,
actually, trust me, you guys don't need that. You guys got it.
We're being reasonable, Evan. That's what we're doing.
I got you.
They are better than the Cowboys, though. All right, take the next one.
Let's go to... I like how you throw that in there. Let's go to... And I'm not going to argue with you, because screw the Cowboys. Let's go to Jim in Bordentown. Hey, Jim.
What's going on, guys? Before my next point, I'm hoping that this the Giant twerk is real here, because my dad's a season ticket holder. I'm there every Sunday, so if I can watch something that's better than two-win football, that'd be ideal this coming up season.
Amen.
But to touch on Tiki's point from before, I just feel like we go around and around about Cat and Brunson and Bridges and all of these guys, but it falls back on Tibbs, and it's just so unimaginative of what he's doing offensively that it has to come back. Like, if the issue is that they don't gel, and that you're getting way less than you thought out of Bridges. Like, what's the common denominator between Cat not playing up to his potential, Brunson sometimes falling into this lull, Bridges not playing up to his potential? It's Tibbs. And I do, I am appreciative of where he's brought them, because I do think he added structure and he was able to get a lot out of guys that otherwise probably wouldn't have went as far as they went last year. But they have a totally different dynamic, and it's offensive now, and he is not an offensive coach. Somebody's got to come in here to draw a play.
I hate to say this,
that's
because...
That's solid, Jim, because I think that's the issue.
No, he's 100% right, and I hate to say the guy who I suggested 2 years ago, I think it was in 2022, I got to the point of, boy, I don't know if Tom Thibodeau is the right guy to take you to the next level, and the guy who always made the most sense to me is no longer available. The guy who always made the most sense to me as that offensive innovator, especially putting his arm around Jalen Brunson and getting the most out of this offense, again, unfortunately, isn't available. The guy's name was Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
He was always the perfect guy. But I think you're right that wherever this season ends, whether it's Saturday night at Madison Square Garden in the undignified way of blowing a 3-1 lead, or in a week 5-game series loss to the Celtics, there are major questions about the ceiling of this roster and who could take it to that next level.
Right.
And that was always going to be the question around Tom Thibodeau. Is he maximizing the talent on this roster? And while they won 51 games, and I think they will beat the Pistons tonight, it is fair to say he has not maximized the talent on this roster, especially offensively.
And you see it and you feel it when you play games like they did in Game 5. And there are reasons why I feel like he can't go to these other, you know, combinations of players on the court, or he doesn't trust the double big, or he doesn't trust, Cam out there with Jalen Brunson. It's just one of those situations that it feels like there was a potential that was completely missed by Tibbs, because he was so enamored with playing these massive minutes for the five guys. And when you do that, you can never explore anything else, especially once you had the three seed basically wrapped up for the last, I don't know, 3 weeks, 2 weeks of the season. So why not try something different?
Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. Hey, Ray.
Gentlemen, listen, man. And Evan, I give you, credit for being an IBO. Now, don't cut me off short like last time just because I'm in a full hand competing sport with one of you guys. I greatly appreciate embracing the conversation.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, right? I'm getting tired of the Tibbs talk. There's a double standard in this town when it comes to head coaches. Tiki, I'm going to challenge you on this, even though I'm a Giants fan. It's hard to tolerate and stomach the defense that you put up of Dable all the time, he's not a pimple on Tom Thibodeau's fanny, to put it nicely, when it comes to head coaching and accomplishments.
Well, Ray, hold on 1 second. Has Dabes had an elite offense? Like, elite players. When has he had them?
Yeah,
but hold on 1 second. Just answer that simple question. When has he had elite talent other than Malik Nabers last year on offense?
He hasn't.
Now tell me how often Tibbs has had elite talent as offensive players.
This season only, because he was stuck with Julius Randle and Randle only for a while, and he overachieved.
Jalen Brunson
just
last
like Dable did.
Jalen Brunson was there last year.
And that's another thing, Tiki. Everybody wants to kill Brunson. Hero of all this, hero of all that,
not,
right?
I'm not
every
killing Brunson.
In this league, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying in general. Every other superstar in this league, you look at every damn game, Ant is trying to take over. Mind you, Ant was 0-10 yesterday from 3 and was horrendous. It was bailed out by a team.
Right.
And like I said, with With this, he has made the adjustment. He was top two or three in offensive rating this season prior to Brunson missing the whole month. They still finished top five. So what are we talking about here?
We're talking about the playoffs. I'm talking about the playoffs, right? I don't care about the regular season. You got to where you were. Fantastic. But how many times have we seen this double big lineup, which is basically the only way they're going to get offensive rebounds, which they dominated in the regular season, right? How many 15-rebound games did Cat have? How many has he had in the postseason? One? Right? I mean, it's just there is an outplaying and an outcoaching that's happening, and it's obvious, right? The whole thing that we started with Brunson and Josh doing this pick and roll, like, what's the point of doing a pick and roll with Josh and Jalen? It makes no sense, especially because Josh doesn't want to shoot. And so even if you have him wide open or you get in an open look, he's not going to take it. So do it with Cat, right? Or do it with Cam and Cat, or put Jalen and Cam on the field court at the same time. And it's just there's so many other things that could be tried and done that aren't. And it seems to just fall back to, all right, Jalen, go dribble, 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 figure something out.
There is a big difference between football and basketball, but there's also a big difference towards the discourse around the Giants and the discourse around the Knicks.
Yeah.
And there's a compliment to the Knicks. The Knicks are on a level in which when we talk about their head coach and their roster, we're talking about, can they win a championship?
Yeah, the Giants are just, can we get a winning record?
Yes! Right. Oh, of course. If you're asking Tiki, I'll do it for you, because I think this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a better coach at their profession through the years they've been doing it so far?
Tom Thibodeau.
It's obviously Tom Thibodeau.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. So the discourse is different.
Right.
And I feel bad for Tom when I say this, but this discussion happened in Chicago, and it's going to happen in New York, which is, we all know he's a good head coach. That's not the dispute.
Mm-mm.
The question is he the guy that gets you to the next level? That's different. And that's what happens when your standards are higher. And we are in a world, 2025, it's a weird time, where the standards for the New York Knicks are a lot higher.
Especially after you start making the playoffs consistently.
Yes.
Which they have.
Yes.
Once the Giants start making the playoffs consistently, we'll start saying, "Hey, Dave, man, you got to get better, right? You got to find ways to win this, you know, win these games." But right now, it's just, can you keep a roster together?
I'll give you a football comparison. When we start talking about Brian Daboll like he's Marty Schottenheimer, yes. Which is, yeah, we're winning 13 games, but damn it, that's not enough because we need to win in the postseason. I'm going to ask everybody a trivia question right now.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Mets lost today to the Arizona Diamondbacks. It has just become official, 4-2. They've lost back-to-back games to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And unfortunately, after an electric win on Tuesday, two very frustrating losses yesterday and today. If you're a Met fan driving home from Citi Field, how are you? 888-808-1019. But I'm going to blow your brains out right now. I'm going to... Hold on.
That doesn't make sense.
Let's walk that one back.
Right. Time out! I'm going to blow your minds right now.
There you go.
Excluding the postseason, when was the last time until today, until 50 seconds ago, where the Mets lost to the Diamondbacks, losing 2 out of 3? When was the last time the New York Mets lost a home series in the regular season? Who would like to go first?
I have no idea.
Tiki's tapped out. Right. I got no idea.
Right.
Sean or Tommy? I give you the choice. The last time the Mets lost a home series before today. Ooh.
I'm going to say August versus the A's.
You nailed it. August 15th versus the Oakland A's. Some have referred to that series by a nickname. Do you know what that series' nickname was?
Hawk to it.
That is correct. Tommy's on fire, too. That was the Hawk to it series.
Oh.
That was where the Mets blew a big lead against the A's on a Thursday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon.
Pun intended?
Hawk to it.
No pun intended. I don't think that way. They blew a lead on a Thursday afternoon.
Sure.
But in the middle of August last season was the last time the Mets had lost a home series. They had played, you ready for this? 1, 2, 3. 10 consecutive home series from last year to this year in which they won the series. Mm. So I say that because as disappointed as I am that we all just witnessed the Mets lose a home series, it's the first time it's happened since the middle of August in the infamous Hawk to a series against the Oakland Athletics. With that said, can I give you a positive?
Yeah, Juan Soto.
Positive Evie is expanding his breath today. Juan Soto did hit two home runs today. Now, yesterday I said Juan Soto home run, Diamondback win, you should parlay that. If you did it yesterday, you lost. If you did it today, you won. But that is the positive. Juan Soto hit two solo home runs today. The negative is, and this has kind of been the trend when the Mets have lost games this year. They've only lost 10 of them. This is their 10th loss of the season. The lack of the big hit
11th
is the killer.
11th.
Oh, the 11th. Damn it. I forgot one. But in the 11 losses they've had, it seems like that has always been the issue, just lacking the big hit. And in this game, they had a great opportunity after a Jesse Winker double, down by a run, second and third, one out. Mark Vientos at the plate, and he strikes out. And that was similar to last night when they had bases loaded, nobody out, down by two runs, and Vientos strikes out. So the story of the Mets in losing these two games, and I honestly argue, Tiki, in most of the 11 losses, has been just their inability to get the big hit.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, that doesn't worry me long term because I think they have a damn good offense despite the frustrations over the last 2 days. But that's what happened.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you look at how this game transpired because we were kind of keeping an eye on it as the show was going on and they were going through the early innings. How many times did they have the bases loaded? Like, this easily could have been a Diamondbacks 12-2 victory.
Yeah, they escaped, especially Kodai Senga.
At least three. I know Senga had it twice, and I feel like I saw it later in the game as well. I'm not quite positive, but they at least had three bases loaded opportunities, and they get away with only giving up four runs. And those last two came on a home run.
Mm-hmm.
The last one came on a home run
yes,
in the ninth
yes,
inning.
Yes.
So, I mean, the pitching, even though it was shaky today, actually managed to keep the game close because it easily could have got blown open.
Yeah, look, it's unfortunate Kodai Senga threw so many freaking pitches. He was taken out after four innings, but the offense just could not get the big hit. That was the frustration that even Sean had last night as he joined me at Citi Field. They had opportunities last night, especially in that ninth inning when it looked like they were going to have this electric comeback.
Right.
And they came up short. Vientos struck out. Jesse Winker tapped out. And then Francisco Alvarez grounded out to third base. And so the back-to-back losses the Mets have suffered, if you want to say they're sort of struggling, they've lost 3 out of 5
mm-hmm.
or 4 out of 7 or whatever it is. It's really based around that.
It's based around opportunities and critical moments. Today, you talk about last night, today it was the eighth inning where they had runners in scoring position and Lindor struck out with nobody on.
Lindor had a rough day.
He had a rough day today, but struck out looking with nobody on. Then Soto homers, and then Alonso gets on, and Winker gets on, and then Vientos has a terrible at bat, and then Nimmo goes down looking as well. So, those moments you just can't have if you're going to win home series.
But I got great news. Not for me, but I got great news. I got great news for Tommy. Mm-hmm. I got great news for Sal. I got great news for Joe and Clark, New Jersey. I got great news for some Mets fans. Who cares the Mets lost? Juan Soto hit two home runs, so you can say nasty stuff to Yankee fans. So does that make you happy?
Why are you going to say nasty stuff to Yankee fans?
I'm mocking them. This isn't me.
Got it. By the way, Yankee fans, turn around when Juan Soto comes to Yankee Stadium. Stare at the back of the stadium and don't say anything. Don't boo him because who cares?
Exactly.
It's Juan Soto.
Yes. But that's how some Mets fans view this season. Like, we're winning, but Juan Soto's got to hit. Well, guess what? Today you got what you wanted. The Mets lost, but Soto hit two home runs. So you must have had a great day, Tommy.
And you still have the best record in baseball.
That's right. For now.
For now.
So you had a good day. Congratulations.
Evan's twisting what I said, but what I said was I'll take the Mets winning 90 games, Juan Soto wins the MVP, and they make the postseason. You have now turned that into I'd rather see them lose and Juan Soto do well.
Sean, you heard the same thing I heard, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, can we say something positive?
Dance
though?
For him now, Sean.
No, I'm not going to dance. I'm going to give you something positive about
dance
Juan Soto.
Dance for me before I turn on you because I'm about to turn on you.
Okay. Juan Soto, while we can make the jokes about Mets fans being happy that Juan Soto hit the two home runs, here's the truth, though. First little adversity test here for the Mets, losing these two games in a row. I don't even think it's that big a deal. Juan Soto hitting the screws out of the ball now and hitting two home runs is a good sign because if other things are starting to falter, I've seen it. National fans have seen it. Padre fans have seen it. Juan Soto can go carry you for a month if he's playing this hot, even if all else fails.
And I'll make you a prediction in relation to that. I completely agree with you, so no troll from you on that. They're going to need that. Like, that's the way baseball is. Baseball's a really streaky game. You know, Pete Alonso had another couple of really good at-bats today, had a base hit, drew a walk in a big spot. He's hitting .342. I mean, the guy's having an outstanding year. He's going to cool off.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, the Mets are going to need Juan Soto to carry them.
And he looked better today. his at-bats were much better, especially the second home run where he went down 0-2 to Ginkel on two controversial strikes.
Ginkel Tinkle.
Yes, they were a little bit outside the zone, but he got them on the corners. And Juan Soto stayed calm, took three balls in a row, and then Ginkel was scared to pitch to him, and he finally did, and he crushed it.
Yes.
So it was a fantastic at-bat for Soto.
That's the positive. Right. The negative is they lost two more games in a row.
Yep.
Now, one thing I want to address before we hear some Met fans, another great crowd on a Thursday afternoon out at Citi Field, so if you're driving home, you can vent or tell us how great the food was. Sean had that experience last night, too, at 888-808-1019. But last night, Soto did have a rough night, as you may know. And I was notified via text message that it sounded as if Juan Soto was being booed at Citi Field last night. And that's not true, because there was a guy sitting next to me who stood up when Juan Soto made those outs and booed so loudly that I am convinced anyone who heard boos last night actually heard one guy loudly booing him. Who was that guy, Sean?
That was Met fan and gambler Sean Morash.
It was
voicing
you.
His frustration as a Met fan.
It was you. So Sean Morash, I just want this for the record. Sean Morash stood up after Soto made his outs last night and booed.
Not the early ones, the last out.
Oh, you waited to the last one. It hurt my eardrums, Teak. My ears were hurting, and then what killed me even more is he does that, and I'm like, he's kind of funny, cute, that's great. I'm getting text messages. Can you believe Met fans are booing Soto? It was him!
And we are sitting...
It was him!
We are sitting right below the crowd mics on TV and radio as well.
So I want this on the record.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's tough. Juan Soto got booed by one jackass last night, and like I told you 2 weeks ago, it was the Yankee
fan. Evan, on all the good moments, was I not clapping? I was playing my part. I was a good Met fan last night. Okay?
I want you to do us a favor, and don't lie because I was sitting next to you. I want you to reenact your boo and what you screamed at Juan last night so that Tiki, Loogie, and America can hear what you screamed at him. Go ahead. So...
Go ahead.
Juan Soto strikes out. Boo! Boo! Go back to the Bronx, you bum! Boo! And scream that. And then what made it worse is there were these two girls dressed in Yankee jerseys next to us who started cracking up.
Yeah. They were like, we'll take him back. I'm like, you can have him.
Why were they in Yankee jerseys?
Bro. It's not even a pitch into the game. They come down with their beers, and the first thing I see is this girl with an Aaron Judge koozie. She brought her own koozie in with her beer.
What?
And she makes Evan with the score. But excuse me, sir, both in Yankee pinstripes sitting right next to us.
Oh, nice.
Perfect.
Nice.
Perfect. Did you notice what jersey she was wearing?
Not till the end. You want to say it?
She was wearing a number 99 jersey, and it had a name on the back, but it wasn't Judge. It was Georgina. I'm not kidding.
And this is who you sold your tickets to?
No. These are not my tickets.
Oh, okay.
No, I actually brought people in my tickets. Paul Rosenberg and Rami Uwertz.
Oh, got it.
They were on the other side of me. To the left of us were Yankee fans, including a Georgina girl. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's right. You split the aisle.
Yeah, I split the aisle, baby. Right. I will get to your reaction from the Met loss. This is the first time they have lost a home series. First time they've lost a home series since the Hawk Tua series in August of last year. Mets lose to the Diamondbacks. They drop a home series for the first time since August of last season. 21-11. Juan Soto hits his first two home runs at Citi Field, but that's it. That's the Met offense. And they lose 4-2. Bad Tiki in a few minutes. Let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019. Carl in Staten Island. How are you, Carl?
Hey, Evan. How you doing, boss?
What's up, man?
I don't know if this was discussed earlier because I wasn't listening all day, but... last night, and it actually happened again tonight, why didn't Diaz pitch the top of the ninth inning? They're down a run. Mm. Why don't they bring Diaz in?
How
much money is this guy making? He hasn't pitched since Saturday.
Mendy's,
what's up with that?
Mendy's answer before the game was, hey, we're down by a run. It's only April. You don't want to be chasing wins, and this is a long stretch of games without an off day. And he gave a very upfront answer. I disagree with him, by the way, and I agree with our last caller. I thought that last night, you're down by a run. You just got a scoreless inning out of Chris Devinsky, who, by the way, they sent down after the game. Go to one of your better relievers to keep it a one-run game, and you're sort of right again today. because Kodai Senga, unfortunately, only went four innings, so you needed a lot out of your bullpen. Hennessy's Cabrera, who just got called up, Max Kranick, they got a scoreless inning out of Reed Garrett. Now go to Diaz for the ninth, and he still didn't do it. So Diaz has warmed up the last couple of days, but he hasn't come into games. I would speculate that he's still hurt, but the fact he's warming up, Tiki, leads you to believe he's okay to come in.
Right, I thought he was coming in, and the reason that they didn't do it today was because they just felt like Reed could get a couple more outs, and maybe it didn't make any sense to be honest with you.
Let's hear from the manager. We actually have his answer. I told you what he said before the game in terms of last night. Well, what about today, Mendy?
Carlos, what made Garrett over Diaz the choice for the ninth?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're talking about two high leverage guy, right? And once Garrett got out of that eighth inning, pitch efficient, you're chasing. I thought, you know, he's pretty good too. So I decided to stick with him, and, you know, he gave up the homer, but that's all to it.
Diaz is physically okay?
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah, he got up. Yesterday, if he was tied, today, if he was tied or better, he was going to come in the game. So,
yeah, I'm not concerned about Diaz not being healthy because, to Mendy's point, he's warmed up the last 2 days, but why not bring him in?
Well, in some ways I can understand because he was efficient in the eighth. So if you can steal an inning and maybe take the lead in the ninth, Then you go to Diaz.
Well, tie the game, because if you take the lead, the game's over.
Or tie the game and then maybe get a chance to use him in chance to win it situation. I don't know. I can see where he was thinking.
Well, I think
he doesn't need him to just hold it to one run.
What he is saying now 2 days in a row is when I'm down by a run, I don't want to waste the bullet of Edwin Diaz.
Right.
The problem is baseball's a very unpredictable game. The Mets could win tomorrow night 11-0 and lose the next day 13-1, and you wouldn't have needed Edwin Diaz. So you don't know if you're going to need him the next couple of days.
Right.
Today, I like the fact that he went to Reed Garrett, and he got the job done in the eighth inning. He tried to stretch him into the ninth inning. My bigger issue was last night. Chris Devensky for a second inning? Chris Devensky's a minor leaguer.
No,
this isn't 2019.
That one didn't make sense. That was probably a mistake. But Reed, you get.
We'll get back to your Met calls in a second. We'll mix in some Yankees and Knicks as well as we count down the hours, 3 hours away before Game 6 tonight in Detroit, Michigan. But it is time for Bad Tiki, and it is a reminder that Bad Tiki is a sentient, AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the Real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the show.
Being back on this show is completely humiliating, completely beneath me, and a complete waste of my time, like being drafted by the Cleveland Browns in the fifth round. I'm sliding here. Slide, Bad Tiki, slide!
Okay, Bad Tiki. Everybody has an opinion on Shedeur Sanders. What is yours?
Thanks for asking, Big Bang Tiki, first of his name. Shedeur has been under fire lately. Some criticism is warranted, some out of line. But you know what's been bothering me the most? That darn prank call. This brat needs to get what's coming to him. All I hear about is how mean it was, how cruel it was to prank a kid who thought he was about to be drafted in the first round. It's the biggest story in America. Bigger than Bad Tiki hiring Jordan Hudson to destroy Bill Belichick. Bad Tiki won't stand for that.
Wait, Bad Tiki. Did you say you hired Jordan Hudson to destroy Bill Belichick?
We aren't talking about that right now. Back to pranking Shedeur, Red Solo Cup P-Boy.
Yeah, I mean... I mean, it was messed up, Bad Tiki. Kids' futures on the line. People are playing games. It's just, you know.
Exactly. It was disgusting how people reacted, those brave young men. They did the right thing. A great example for the youth. They should be receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom, a Nobel Prize. I might make those idiots honorary Tikis and invite them to the next Bad Tiki Gala as my special guests.
Hold on, Bad Tiki. You liked the prank on Shedeur Sanders? Like it was a good thing?
Yes, Hamuel L. Jackson. I loved it. In fact, I am so inspired. I built a fully functional, undrafted Shedeur Sanders AI clone of my own, solely to prank him over and over again. Let the endless torturing of this poor soul begin.
Wait, you cloned Shedeur Sanders?
Quiet, 50-year-old Tiki. Let Chef Bad Tiki cook!
Hello, it's me, undrafted AI Shedeur Sanders. Legendary. Who is this? I wonder what coach or general manager this is to draft me very early in the NFL draft. I hope it's the Giants or the Steelers. That would be cool. Legendary.
Hello, AI Shedor Sanders. I'm looking for Joe. Is Joe there?
Joe who?
Joe Mama. Got him. Take that undrafted Shedor. You punk. Keep waiting, you bum.
Come on, Bad Tiki. I'm waiting on an important call. You're messing up my live stream. Legendary.
That was a good one, right, guys?
Bad Tiki, this just seems wrong. Why would you do this?
Hold that thought, you freak who makes PP in a red solo cup and pours it in the sink. AI Aaron, it's your turn.
Thanks, Bad Tiki. I got a good one for his ass.
Hello, legendary.
Shedder, it's me, AI. Aaron Rodgers, I was just sipping my sun-brewed organic kombucha tea and meditating while sitting crisscross applesauce on the very edge of a dangerous waterfall when my third eye suddenly opened. I was contacted by a higher entity with a question for you from the upper cosmos of consciousness. Have you considered thinking about D's?
D's what? AI Aaron Rodgers?
D's nuts on your face. Got him. No one wants you, not even the Jets. I used to play for them. Speaking of the Jets, did I ever tell you about the time I took a jet on my own dime to meet Aaron Glenn? And he tried to poison me with red dye number 40. That's attempted murder. You're lucky the Jets didn't pick you or try to kill you. Namaste, friends.
This is just wrong, Bad Tiki. How long have you been doing this?
Don't ruin my fun, real Tiki. Oh, no, the party is over. I'm getting a call from AI Shedor's daddy. Hello, AI Prime.
Bad Tiki, you got to cut this out now. Get AI Shedor on the phone right now. We are going to make this right.
Hello, legendary.
Son, it's me, AI Prime. We're going to put an end to all of this nonsense right now. But first, let me ask you something. I just got off the phone with Coach Bofa. He said he wants to take you with the next pick. Do you know who Coach Bofa is?
Oh, hey, Dad. No, I don't know who Coach Bofa is. Who is Coach Bofa?
Bofa D's nuts. Bad Tiki, this is too easy, man. I see why you like it so much.
Good one, AI Prime. I can't get enough of this. Hey, losers, do you want to take a turn? It's so much fun.
Bad Tiki, this seems very cruel. You created an AI clone of Shedor Sanders just to have him live his own personal hell of never-ending prank calls? Why would you do this? Why would you keep doing this?
Wow, buzzkill urine boy. Evan, this is part of my shtick. This is what Bad Tiki does. I am bad. Bad, bad, bad boy. Bad Tiki, you sound like Negative Tommy. Oh, no, now look what you've done. What is it, Negative Tommy?
Bad Tiki, you can't keep doing this, creating these clones just to torture us. Positive Tommy was just living his best positive life. You couldn't stand for it, so you created me, a miserable existence with no positivity. I am all negative. All I do is scream as loud as I can. My throat hurts, Bad Tiki, but Bad Tiki, you've gone too far this time, cloning a man just to torment him, pranking him in front of his own AI father. It's wrong. It's cruel. It's honestly downright disgusting.
Goodness, get to the point, Negative Tommy.
Bad Tiki, we should uplift people. We should celebrate those who fall and get back up. We shouldn't define someone by their worst moment.
Hello, legendary.
Undrafted AI Shedor, the existence you are living is unfair. Now is your chance to make a choice. I have a question to ask of you, AI Shedor. It's now or never. Are you ready?
Negative Tommy, thank you. I am ready for your question. Legendary.
Is your refrigerator running?
Yes.
Well, you better go catch it. Gotcha! The Knicks are not dogs. They do not do damage. The only one who does damages is Tom Thibodeau when he's basically throwing the game in the fourth quarter by not playing the good players. Who the hell is Jackson Dart? Why does Juan Soto suck now?
I am proud of you, Negative Tommy. You are so negative. Okay, this has been fun, but all good things must come to an end. Like the Bill Belichick relationship, everyone needs to lay off Bill. He's just hypnotized by a much younger beauty. I can relate. Mrs. Roberts, I'll be over later.
Oh,
I booked us a couple's massage while your loser husband records another episode of Smooching the Pete Alonzo Cheeks Greco Bologna podcast. Bye, losers. Bad Tiki, out.
Legendary.
Thank you, Bad Tiki. I do remind you, Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. You know, two games in a row. I'm sorry. Can I get back to the Mets or do we have to?
Oh, no.
You want to prank AI? Should do it too while you're
I'm still laughing about what Coach Bofa.
Yeah, yeah. What are you about to talk about, Evan? Both of these losses?
That's it. You're right.
Both of these losses stung. They stung because they couldn't freaking hit, which is the most frustrating thing to watch. Like last night. While Sean was stuffing his face, and he would not stop eating, by the way.
Oh, yeah. How did it go?
Oh, my God.
Well, you could go to @SeanMoresh on Twitter. Plenty of videos there.
Here's the problem. He got food, which he reviewed on social media.
Do you Instagram them as well?
No, I meant to. Service was tight.
You got to Instagram
them. I'll gram them later.
Add the gram to it. But he eats all this food, and then Ray Martell, who used to work here, works for the Mets Radio Network, comes down with a whole bowl of nachos.
A helmet of nachos.
A helmet of nachos, and Sean starts shoving his face down the nachos.
He's fat!
Nachos are delicious.
They were very good.
They are so good.
Who has nachos shoved in their face, and they go, you know what, I'm good?
I did. I took one
it's
nacho.
It's almost like a guilty, non-caloried snack.
And I begged Ray to take him back.
Nah, he did. He said, please take him away from me. Here's the good news when the Mets are losing. At least you could shove your face with food.
No doubt
about
it.
You can binge eat while you watch a limp offense.
Great, great food, by the way.
No, absolutely. Let's go to John and Massbeth, who I'm sure has a lot of positive things to say about the Mets. How are you, John?
Oh, I got a lot of good things to say about the Mets. First off, welcome back to the island of irrelevancy. That cakewalk schedule is done. Mm. You guys finally played a real team and got bent over the damn table and spanked twice. Now you guys, you know, got an easy schedule coming up with St. Louis. But you know what? Arizona comes back around. And then you got the Cubs coming down the alley. When you hear that freight train roaring, baby. Yankees coming to town, baby. Welcome back. Welcome back.
All right, thank you, John. Every time I say to myself, why be bothered by Yankee fans? Mm-hmm. It's okay. A guy like John is like a walking caricature of the obnoxious Yankee fan. your schedule, you bunch of losers, irrelevant. Look, you got to play who's on your schedule.
Right.
That's the bottom line. And they're 21-11. It sucks they lost the last two games.
And they've been great against who's been on their schedule.
You got to beat who's in front of you. I just saw the Yankees go to Baltimore and lose to the sub-500 Baltimore Orioles. That wasn't fun. That wasn't successful. I think the Orioles are a little bit better than what their record says. But don't give me the schedule garbage. But you know what, John? Enjoy the tiny victories in life. So if it makes you feel better that the Mets lost 2 out of 3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks, have a parade. You can join Knicks fans when they have their parade after beating the Pistons tonight and advancing to the second
round. You
want
to apologize to me now or later?
Who?
What do you mean, who? What, is there an echo in here? You want to apologize to me in an
hour? For what?
You want to apologize to me because about 10 minutes ago, you and your henchman, Marash, got on me for something I said a week ago, whereas I want the Mets to do really well and want Soto to do really well, so Yankee fans have no ammunition. And here we are 10 minutes later, and John and Maspeth comes with the ammunition.
Yeah, but the only ammunition that matters to me is the Mets losing. I mean, that's all that matters. Like, Juan Soto had 2 home runs today, which is a great sign, but I'm annoyed that they lost the game. And that's the only ammunition John used. If John said to me, like, prior to Monday or Tuesday, ha-ha, the Mets have the best record in baseball, but Juan Soto sucks, I'd have laughed my ass off. I'd have been like, who the hell cares? The only thing I care about as a fan is my team winning. And unfortunately, the Mets haven't. They lost back-to-back games to the Diamondbacks, so... I'm confused. What am I apologizing
for? You're apologizing for not realizing how obnoxious and arrogant Yankee fans need to be, and it's a never-ending battle against them, and we're in war times, and you shouldn't disarm positive Tommy when it comes to that. And by the way, John, little brother energy, your baseball team lost last night, but you couldn't wait to call us to talk about the other baseball team in town? That's little brother energy.
Well, I'm glad you responded. Let this be a science experiment. Tiki,
yes.
I think you know this very well.
Mm-hmm.
John from Maspeth is an obnoxious Yankee fan.
Awesome Yankee fan.
Okay. But he doesn't define Yankee fans. Don't define us by our worst, much like Tommy.
Well, do you
don't define Met fans by Tommy Lukauer.
Do you define all Met fans?
Do I?
Yes.
No, I don't define any fan.
You're trolling.
Who?
You.
What have I done?
You troll all the time.
I haven't trolled
anything.
That's
all John did. He just trolled the troller.
What have I trolled?
You troll. Really?
Well, give me an example, because I've been positive about the Knicks today.
Okay,
I haven't trolled the Yankees at all. We haven't got to them. We'll get to them in a few minutes.
Was that real positivity?
Yes, I think they're going to win tonight.
Genuine positivity?
Yes, I think you're going to win tonight.
Or was that fake positivity?
Not fake at all.
So that when they lose, you can be like,
well, I will laugh if they lose, but no, I think they're going to win tonight.
That's what I mean.
I think they're going to win tonight.
You're such a contradiction.
What's amazing about this, Tiki, is that when it comes to Evan's teams, Don't you dare call the NL East over. How could you believe in the Mets? Mm. Don't you? Oh, don't you even dare look over here at the Jets. Oh, I wasn't saying anything about Super Bowl, but the moment it's the Knicks.
Right.
Or the moment I'm scared about the Yankees, it's, what are you talking about? The American League's so easy.
By the way, speaking of the NL East being over, you better watch out tonight. Because the Phillies are at home against the Nationals. Mm. And if the Phillies win tonight, I think it'll be like their fifth straight win.
Dude,
or fourth straight win.
Give him an L for this.
Give who an L?
Sean.
No. They're not losing the NL East.
When he does. When they do. Are we giving him an L?
Well, hold on. There's a couple of things at play here. The Phillies win tonight, they'd be 2.5 games behind the Mets in the NL East. Yep. Sean and I did make a bet. This is, I think, what you're referring to.
Yes.
I guess it was about a week ago now,
mm-hmm.
where I want the Mets to win the division, but Sean said it's over and they will never see second place again.
Right.
And if they do see second place again, Sean will have to dress up right. in orange and blue.
That's the whole long, that's a long-term thing.
Well,
that's
could be over happen. Next week.
Right. So, but he's also got to wear an L.
Oh, you think? So he has to wear an L if the Mets ever drop into second place.
Yes.
I agree. So an L and the orange and blue?
Yes.
I'll do both of these.
Not at the same time.
I get you.
They have to be separate days, though.
Separate days, of course.
Yeah, of
but
course.
The L's are getting lonely. They've been sitting there unused for like 2 weeks now.
Well, no one's earned the L yet.
Oh, that's what I'm just saying. Is this L worthy?
Yeah, I definitely think it is.
I think so, too.
Definitely think it is. And I hope I'm wrong about this and the Mets go wire to wire in the NL East, but I'm just saying, if the Phillies win tonight, that lead is down to 2.5 games. I may win the bet by the weekend. It's possible by the weekend.
Yeah.
I have to take a victory that I really don't want. Charles in Allenhurst, New Jersey. Hey, Charles.
Yo, before I get to my Mets point here, I'm pissed off at the end. Yo, John from Massa, don't you got better things to do than calling up the radio, bro? We could be calling up Planet Fitness right about now. You ever seen that guy on Twitter?
Oh my God. Holy hell.
And then, oh, it's ridiculous. And by the way, for someone who claims that the Mets are so irrelevant, just happens to know the Mets' next five opponents by heart. That's just ridiculous.
He did. Yeah, you're right. He broke down the Mets' schedule.
Maybe
very
he's
well.
Just a big baseball fan, Charles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should be a bigger Yankee fan. How about that?
All right.
But
I agree.
Mark Vientos. I mean, this guy. Every time he comes up, what it feels like in the last week in a big spot, it's you just know how it's going to go down. It's not even that he can't hit. You know, sir, it's just that slider down and away. He mm-hmm. can't lay off
right.
every single at-bat. It's the same pitch. It's like you saw in that at-bat. I don't know if you guys were watching live in the studio. But
as much as we can, to a degree.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he was the pitcher, Kevin Ginkle. He threw like, it was an 0-2 count. He threw two sliders in the other batter's box. And after seeing that, Vientos took them. He still couldn't make the adjustment. He still swings. And then Brandon Nimmo just watches strike three. Right. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
so the Vientos thing is fascinating because on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, I'm losing track of days, last night, Vientos hit the home run that gave the Mets the 1-0 lead that they held until the seventh inning. He was their only offense.
Right.
But since that home run, he's 0 for his last seven. He's had a bunch of strikeouts and a bunch of them in key spots. Not just second and third, one out this afternoon, but even last night when he came up with the bases loaded and nobody out. Vientos has had a very start and stop season. He got off to the terrible
right.
start. He showed signs of breaking out of it. He has broken out of it. And really, the last day and a half has been a struggle, especially with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, no, and that's what you can't have from him. Because, look, we know what Mark Vientos did a year ago. But when you start to get a book on you, like what you see this sometimes with Aaron Judge. Now, Aaron is good enough that eventually he'll stop laying off that sinking ball down and away from him, and he'll just watch it go for a ball. Vientos hasn't learned how to do that yet. Now, maybe it's experience, but they're counting on him right now. And other than Pete Alonso, in certain moments, who's been the most reliable hitter on this team? I mean, you hope that it's Vientos, but it hasn't been.
No, you know who it is? I'll answer your question. Luis Torrens.
Yeah.
Has probably been. It sucks because in the bottom of the eighth inning of this game, the Mets are down by two. Soto hits a home run to make it a one-run game. Pete has a great at-bat in which he draws a walk, and that's been the beauty of Pete Alonso. I know it was on four pitches, but he had to take some relatively close pitches. At least that's what my memory tells me while we're doing the show. And so now Pete's on first base, and I love Pete Alonso, and I don't want to pinch run for him. Like, I'm not for it. But if they had put in Luis Sanhel Acuña as a pinch runner in the bottom of the eighth inning with one out and a runner on first, Jesse Winker's double scores him, and the game is tied. And if the game is tied, Edwin Diaz comes into the game. It's one of those juxtapositions as a manager where you don't want to take Pete out because he's your best hitter, and he may come back up in the ninth or tenth inning.
Right.
You never know. But if they do take him out, for a guy like Acuña who's on the bench, it's a tie game. It's a tie game. It is what it is. So I admit it frustrates me because I wouldn't have the balls to take Pete Alonso out of the game because I wouldn't want to lose that bat. But man, oh man, as Winker hit that what could have been potential game-tying double, as Pete Alonso's running around the bases like he's got something in his pants because that's the way it looks, like he's going to the bathroom.
Right.
I'm thinking to myself, my God.
Well, he got held. He got held.
Yeah, it's because he's slow. If Acuna was pinch running, the game is tied.
But the ball was dropped and misplayed, and he would have scored.
Yeah, but I think once you put the stop sign up.
No, I hear you.
That drop on the real, it doesn't matter. Like, it's over. The play is shut down. No. But then, hey, it's second and third, one out. You got Vientos and Nimmo coming up. How about someone come through? And unfortunately, Vientos struck out swinging, and Nimmo struck out looking. Jeff is in Queens. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, Evan. How's it going?
We're good. What's up?
You know those two Soto home runs wouldn't have been out at Yankee Stadium, right? So Citi Field's a Mickey Mouse stadium.
Wait, hold on. I want a victory on this. I'm taking a victory on this. Back in December of 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, when the Yankees acquired Juan Soto, Tiki thought I was trolling. I wasn't trolling. I was giving facts about Juan Soto's power zone. And I mentioned, you know where he hits the ball the most? Left center field.
Left center.
And I talked about how Yankee Stadium is very deep to left center field. You know which ballpark has the shortest left center field in baseball? And Tiki's like, I don't know where Evan's going with this.
Yeah.
And I said, City Field.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I see what you're doing here.
Yep.
You're setting up Soto to leave the Yankees and join the Mets.
And this is why he wanted to come to the Mets.
Yeah.
Because he could be homerless at home until this game. And now he's two in a row, same spot.
And to our last caller's point, who's trolling City Field's ballpark, yeah, that was my point.
Mm-hmm.
That the power zone for Soto at City Field is actually perfect for him. Those two balls may not go out of Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
I have to check. Can you find that Twitter feed, Sean?
Well, the last one was $3.99.
Oh, so that's out of Yankee Stadium.
I think it is out of Yankee
Stadium. Yeah, maybe they're both out of Yankee Stadium. I don't know. But that is his power zone towards left center
field. The second one was $3.99. I got to check what the first one was. The first one was, let's see, what inning was that? The first one was $3.91.
All right, so they're both out of Yankee Stadium.
Right.
All right, so that guy's troll really didn't work.
Yeah.
We'll get you set for Knicks Pistons tonight. More reaction to the Met loss to the Arizona Diamondbacks, 888-808-1019.